Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference. So today's class will be given by Her Grace Sukhasagri Mataji on the topic of Chaitanya, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chapter 26. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Please take over the call. Sukhasagri Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Mataji, please unmute Mataji.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, are you able to see my screen, the presentation?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay, thank you so much. Yeah, Hare Krishna, everybody. And before I start, I would like to thank the organizers for giving me this opportunity. Though I'm not sure I'm very qualified to give a class on TLC. And not only that, I was told about this late Sunday night, and I'm not sure I'm well prepared also. So I beg for all your mercy so that I can do some justice to, you know, all you sincere devotees and also learn in the process. And today we'll be discussing or learning about, you know, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, where Lord Chaitanya, he started his discussions with Ramananda Raya. Yesterday's class, Ramgirdhari Prabhuji, he had given the introduction to these talks. So these talks went on, like he mentioned, for quite a few days. And several topics were discussed, starting from the basics to the topmost and beyond. You know, Mahabhava and so many things, even beyond Prema, the higher levels, higher symptoms of the love of Godhead, very esoteric topics were discussed. And these topics actually go till the end of this book, until chapter 32. And so today we'll be just seeing in chapter 28, there is a sequential progress of the you know, level of bhakti or devotion in these topics. So as we go deeper until 32, until chapter 31, even more deeper concepts and very, very esoteric topics about Radha Krishna Tattva and things like that will be discussed. But today we would be just stopping at Dasya Rasa. And from the next chapter, we'll continue from Sakya Rasa. So I'll just start with the invocation prayers. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Giriraja Swaminiti Namine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So before I start, I would like to express my gratitude to Her Grace Radhika Mataji, who made the slides for this, you know, presentation within half hour. She helped me out. I don't know what I would do otherwise. So yeah, I'm very, very grateful to her. It was her encouragement, totally. Yeah, this chapter is titled Relationship with the Supreme. And we'll just do a brief recap of what happened in the previous chapter. So we know that TLC is basically conversations between Lord Chaitanya and his most confidential associates. So he had imparted teachings to all of them. And this TLC is a concise study. And it's, we could just say that it's some excerpts from Chaitanya Charitamrita, like the important philosophical aspects of Chaitanya Charitamrita are presented in TLC. So this is, you know, as also emphasized by other speakers. This is a very important tattva aspect of our philosophy, and we ought to study it with great interest. So I'm trying my best and would request for all of your help on this. So just to recap, we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on his South India Yatra and he meets up with Ramananda Raya. And though Ramananda Raya, he was, externally, he was a grihastha and he was a shudra. But still, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to drive home this point that, you know, the pure devotional service is not based on any caste or, you know, any social order in life. Just like how, we also saw in Prabhupada Lilamrita that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was also against this concept of caste Goswamis, and he awarded the Brahman Diksha to everybody irrespective of their, you know, caste background. He just looked for the qualifications. And that's what Bhagavad Gita also says, that it's guna karma vibhagasha. So it's based on your qualities, your qualifications, and your activities, the actions which you perform. So it's not necessary that if you are born in a Brahmin family that you automatically qualify to be a Brahmana or a, you know, or a Vaishya or any of these four varnas. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he chose Ramananda Rai with this specific idea in mind to actually emphasize that, you know, caste is not any barrier to devotional service. And he very humbly requested Ramananda Raya to speak all these great truths to him, though he is the Lord himself. So the Lord also takes a very humble position, and we know that Lord Chaitanya was in the very humble mood of a devotee and was trying to exemplify how a devotee must behave and how one should act. And so he took this humble position, and as Ramananda Rai. Ramananda Rai, as we know, is one of the confidential associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the 3.5 confidential associates. So, and the question asked by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, what is the ultimate goal of life? And we saw yesterday briefly that, about how Ramananda Rai starts replying to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he starts off with answering with Varnashrama Dharma, and then he goes on to quote scriptural references for this. Before I move on, I just thought I'll give a brief overview of what happens. This chapter is extracted from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then the verses are the verses from CC which are being referred to here. And the last chapter we saw, 27, it went until the first, the first two topics. That is from verses 2 until 58, like Varnashrama Dharma was introduced. And then in this chapter, we are going to see from offering the results, like from verses 59 until 75 will be discussed in this chapter. And in fact, until 73, 74 and 75 are part of the next chapter. So these are the topics being discussed, and we will see them one by one, how Ramananda Rai presents these topics to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in turn, you know, accepts or rejects. So that's something we need to wait and watch. So moving on to the next slide. So yesterday we saw that Ramananda Rai had mentioned, according to scriptures, he said that, you know, Sva Dharma Charane Vishnu Bhakti Haya, executing prescribed duties as per one's varna and ashrama, that is sufficient to actually, it's a sufficient practice to go back to Godhead. But then we saw, and he gives this two verses, the Vishnu Purana verse, which is very famous, Varnashrama Charavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnu Raradhyate Pantha Nanya Tattosha Karanam. All the Vedic ritualistic sacrifices are performed for the purpose of satisfying Lord Vishnu, the Yajna Purusha. There's also another verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, which also, dwells on this same theme, which is Atah Pumbi. This is from the first canto. Sorry, I didn't give the reference here. So first canto, second chapter. I am not able to recollect the actual verse number, but we can figure that out. Atah Pumbi Dvija Shrestha Varnashrama Vibhagasya Svanushthitasya Dharmasya Samsidhir Haritoshanam. So we see that Nanyatat Tosha Karanam. So it is referring to Toshanam, that is the satisfaction of the Lord. And here also we see it's very similar. The words are also similar. Samsidhir Haritoshanam. So it is referring to the Lord's pleasure. So we'll see the translation of this verse to, O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to caste divisions and orders of life is to please the personality of Godhead. So we see that this is being told in Puranas as well as in Srimad Bhagavatam itself. And also, in the Bhagavad Gita, we have seen that Lord Krishna emphasizes that we should perform our duties as our responsibilities or our occupational duties, just as a matter of duty, even if we don't want to do. He advises Arjuna, when Arjuna wants to give up everything and retire, he tells Arjuna that, no, you should do your duties. So let's see. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so there are three keywords which are used in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Mahaprabhu, he grades these questions. These answers are, these explanations which are put forward by Ramananda Rai with three phrases, basically, Iho Bahya. Bahya means external, that this is external. And then Iho Haya, that means that's all right. And then he says, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Eho, Uttama. Uttama, he says, that's like great, that's good. So this way he would reply to Ramananda Rai with one of these phrases, So when Ramananda Rai comes up with this idea of Varnashrama, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gives this answer, Iho Bahya. So he says it's still external. So how do we understand that, why it is external? We see that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he rejects this Varnashrama, this, following the duties of Varnashrama and going back to Godhead just based on that, on grounds of Karma Mimamsa. Like yesterday, Ram Girdhari Prabhu mentioned, we see that even Lord Krishna himself had actually presented this Karma Mimamsa during the lifting of the Govardhan Hill. There's yet another example from the Srimad Bhagavatam. When Maharaja Chitraketu, after a long, time, he was blessed with a son. And he was told that this son would be a cause of Harsha and Shoka, both a cause of joy and lamentation. So when Maharaj Chitraketu was told of this, he very ordinarily took this to be like, maybe his son will turn out to be disobedient or, not of, good nature or something like that. So he didn't make much of it. He didn't realize what was in store for him, but this was, the warning was already given. So he had this son from his wife, Kritadyuti, and he had many other wives too. So when Kritadyuti, she gave birth to this son, we know the story very well. The other, Maharaja Chitraketu, he automatically, as obvious, so he started giving a lot of affection to the child and so also to his wife Kritadyuti, So the other wives, they actually get spited and the envy develops because much attention is being given to his first wife. We also see this in our dealings, right? When we see that some other devotees are getting, lot of attention or, for some reason are doing well, these kind of tendencies do arise, like in Kali Yuga, especially these kind of tendencies do arise. But as devotees, of course, we appreciate the qualities in other people because it's all given by Krishna and we accept what Krishna gives everybody because We accept Krishna as the supreme authority and he has the right to do what he wants. So when we look at these things in that aspect, we realize that, you know, it's all God's doing. And so we need to appreciate whatever Krishna is giving. But then on the other hand, these feelings are natural. It is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam that, the other queens, they thought that their position was worse than even the maid servants there, because the maid servants would at least do some service to the king and get some appreciation in return. But these queens were totally neglected once, you know, this boy was born, this child was born. So they felt very neglected, and this envy built up in them. And over time, what happened was one day Krutidyuti found her son dead. And obviously, the other queens, they poisoned him and caused the death. But then when Krutidyuti saw this and started crying, the whole palace, you know, everybody assembled there. And all the other queens also started crying. They, you know, they appeared to also be taking part in this, though they were actually the reason for the death of the child. So at that time, she is, you know, as any mother, you know, and especially after such a long time, she had a baby. As any mother would be, she was totally distraught, and she, you know, started blaming the creator, you know, like the Lord, for what he has done, you know, and the untimely death of her son. So this is basically based on karma mimamsa. This argument, Srila Prabhupada says that generally people who believe in this philosophy of karma mimamsa, they, you know, their philosophy revolves around the aspect that, you know, the more you do the karma, you will get the results. So they expect, in one way, they expect that if you do something, you work hard and then you get the results for that. So they expect things to happen in that way. So even, you know, we see Krutidyuti on the same grounds. She is actually blaming the creator. And these are the two verses I took the translation from. I'll just read them. Alas, O Providence, O Creator, you are certainly inexperienced in creation. For during the lifetime of a father, you have caused the death of his son, thus acting in opposition to your creative laws. If you are determined to contradict these laws, you are certainly the enemy of living entities and never merciful. So you see, this karma mimamsa, they just stick to this law of karma. And if something goes, you know, if they work hard, they expect that they must get the, you know, results in proportion. And if that does not happen, then they blame the creator. So this is the, you know, underlying fact beyond this. So they don't understand that, you know, the Lord is supremely independent and he would do whatever he wants to do. I mean, he is under no pressure or no compulsion to act in any which way which we think he should be acting. So he is Svarat, like the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam says, Janmadyasya Yatonmayadi, the verse says that he is Chatesha Abhigna Svarat. He is Svarat, he is completely independent. So this Karma Mimamsa, we see the, you know, glimpse of this philosophy here. And then she also adds the next verse, my Lord, you may say that there is no law that a father must die in the lifetime of his son, and that a son must be born in the lifetime of his father, since everyone lives and dies according to his own fruitive activity. However, if fruitive activity is so strong that birth and death depend upon it, there is no need of a controller or God. But then she's giving arguments to justify what she's trying to tell here. So she says that, you know, if everything is based on karma, then what is the need of God? And then later she adds, again, if you say that a controller is needed because the material energy does not have the power to act, one may answer that if the bonds of affection you have created are disturbed by fruitive action, no one will raise children with affection. Instead, everyone will cruelly neglect his children. Since you've cut the bonds of affection that compel a parent to raise his child, you appear inexperienced and unintelligent. So this is the general mindset of somebody who is following this karma mimamsa, you know, or this kind of a philosophy, that at one point of time, when things go against their nature, they tend to, in fact, blame the Lord and try to question what kind of authority he is. So we see from here that this is not pure in nature. This devotion to the Lord is not pure in nature because they don't have the whole, concept of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his nature, that he's very independent and he awards what's best for us. So they're not in cognition of this fact. So we see that the Karma Mimamsas, they do have this kind of ideas, which sometimes the blame may turn onto God. So we know that some people also turn atheists, because of when they go through reversals in life and things like that. So so this is like we can obviously see this is, a very, very, very crude concept of worshipping the Lord or, doing duties as what are prescribed, like it says, doing your duties, your occupational duties. So this is, one reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this is external in nature. And also there are several reasons given. The other reason is, people in Kali Yuga are so fallen and there is no actual practice of Varnashrama. We see that many people don't even believe in ashramas. Nowadays, we see that Grihastha Ashrama has become a big joke in one sense. There are live-in relationships. People don't believe in the institution of marriage. And so many things we see, right? Varna Shankara, like Lord Krishna quotes in the Bhagavad Gita, that there are, there's a lot of things happening out there which we're all aware of, which, totally defy this concept of Varnashrama. So when there is no actual Varnashrama, we see that there is no actual varna also there. We are just doing some jobs or, something which is coming our way, which may not actually be conducive to the realization of God. So one may try to say that, chaturvarnyam maya srishtam. This is what Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. So why is he, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, defying this? Because he has created it. Because this kind of Varnashrama, which currently exists in the Kali Yuga, is actually distorted. It's a perverted reflection. So it's not at all what Krishna had devised or planned for earlier. So that's one more reason, Prabhupada says that this was rejected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we see that, the main crux of this is that he rejected this because Varnashrama is not currently in vogue in Kali Yuga. And it's a very difficult practice to adopt to also in Kali Yuga because the concept of God or, the faith is missing basically. And so it is not easy to actually follow this process. And why Ramananda Raya, he starts off with Varnashrama is we may have all learned in the Bhakti Yoga ladder. So unless one even comes to the platform of Varnashrama, he or she is still on an animal platform. So if we are not even following some kind of authority and, doing some kind of varna according to what is prescribed, we are still on an animal platform. So that's why Ramananda Rahi starts at this lowest category, the lowest platform of Varnashrama. And then we'll see how it proceeds. We move on to the next slide. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says Eho Bahya, he says this is external. Then Ramananda Rai, he goes on to give the next explanation. He says, okay, if this is external, he talks about Krishna Karma Arpanam. Ramananda Rai understood the purpose of Lord Chaitanya and after stating that it is better to give Krishna the results of fruitive activities, he quoted a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. We all know this verse. If I heard like a couple of kids there, Janavi and Balavrinda, do you want to read this verse? I know she knows it memorized. Hi, Bo.
Mataji, can unmute?
Whom?
Okay, they're not there, Mataji.
That's okay, Mataji. Thank you. Yeah, I'll read it. Yat karoshi yad ashnasi yad juhoshi hoshi dadasi yad yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushvama darpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. So this is the next point Ramananda Rai raises when Krishna, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejects Varnashrama. He says that, okay, we take it one step further and offer the results of our activities to Lord Krishna. And then we see that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he dismisses this also as Iho Bahya. And one would wonder why, right? Because yat karoshi yad ashnasi. So whatever you do, whatever you eat, you offer and, you know, to Krishna. So there is some exchange, right, we are having with the Lord. So why is still Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, dismissing this idea also and calling it external? And the reason, which is given is that in this Kali Yuga, people are not sure what to do as activities and what to even offer to the Lord. They don't even know what are the rules and regulations which need to be followed and what is pleasing to the Lord. So what can one offer, you know, when we don't even know what work we are doing and what if the fruits of these work are even off, you know, can be offered to the Lord. So, you know, the whole a concept of offering to the Lord in this state, you know, it collapses because one, you know, many people are without bona fide gurus who can advise them what they should be doing. And then, you know, when we act under the guidance of a guru and follow a particular varna and ashrama, at that time it becomes, we become worthy enough or the offering which we make to the Lord actually carries some meaning. But if we are going to whimsically take up something based on what we think and what we act and without actually conforming to anything, so that kind of offering, what value will it be to actually raise you to the platform of devotional service? It doesn't really do much, right? I mean, you still will be earning, giving something to the Lord and going on with your, you know, job, whatever you were doing the same way without making any advancement, right? So this was also rejected on grounds of that this is external. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this is still on an external level because it does not dive into any kind of relationship with the Supreme Lord or it does not dive into devotional service unto the Lord because people are not aware what to offer even to the Lord or what are his likes, what are his dislikes, what is the Lord's nature and, you know, the who the Lord is. Many people even have that question and people are questioning if there is even a Lord. So he said that this, you know, this is again not the most valuable method. So then we'll move on to the next slide. Ramananda Raya, then he says Svadharma Tyaga, renouncing one's occupational duties. Ramananda Raya also quoted Lord Krishna's similar statement in the Bhagavad Gita, 1866. Again, a very famous verse. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo vichayishyami ma shuchaha. Give up all kinds of religiousness and surrender unto me, the supreme unto Krishna, that is, the supreme personality of Godhead. Krishna shall protect you from all sinful activities and you will have nothing to be aggrieved over. So Ramananda Rai, he takes it a step further and he talks about renunciation. I'm sure we all can derive some similarities, right, between this discussion and also Bhagavad Gita chapters, like the way the concepts progress or, you know, the level of devotion or, which is presented in this topic's progresses, we can see that there is some parallel between how Bhagavad Gita chapters are and also this discussion between Ramananda Raya and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's. So here we talk of renunciation. So what do you think? Do you think Chaitanya, so when one is totally renounced, you know, he gives up his occupational duties, do you think Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted this, or you know, he still had questions on this? Anybody wants to take a chance?
He didn't accept, Mataji.
Sorry, Mata?
He didn't accept. He said, yeah, bhajya. And he continued. I think that went on.
Yeah, you're right, Mataji. Yeah, so he continued. Let's see what happens. So he again said, Iho bahya. Mataji, you know, she has a good accent. I don't know what I'm saying, but she said it the right way, how it must be said. Renouncing one's occupational duties. After having his suggestions rejected twice, Ramananda proposed that one should forsake his occupational activities altogether and by such detachment rise to the transcendental plane. In other words, he recommended complete renunciation of worldly life. To support this proposal, he cited evidence from Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein the Lord says, in the scriptures, I have described the ritualistic principles and the way one can become situated in devotional service by giving them up. That is the highest perfection of religion. Agnya evam gunan doshan maya adishthan api svakan dharman santyajaya sarvan mam bhajeta satu sattamaha. So again, like Mataji said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dismisses this theory proposed by Ramananda Rai, you know, Swadharma Tyaga. And why does he dismiss this? I hope I have a slide on it. No, I don't have a slide on it. Okay, so Ramananda Rai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he dismisses this theory of renunciation, you know, of one's occupational duties, because renunciation in itself by no means, you know, is a way or path to actually progress towards Krishna, right? So renunciation in itself, you could be renounced from all your material activities and still not have any inkling or any knowledge about, you know, what Krishna consciousness is about, or what your actual duty, what is your, you know, actual duty as a human being, you know, you may be totally unaware of everything. So what is the use of such false renunciation when there is no active engagement? So this was the argument given by Sri, this is what is presented by Srila Prabhupada in the purports. Let me try to grab that. I'm sorry, I'm just taking some time to. I would like to read Prabhupada's purport. I'm seeing if there is any. Yeah, I think Prabhupada has discussed it for the next verse in more detail. So let's go back to what it was. So this is basically the argument that, you know, even though one gives up his or her prescribed duties or, you know, occupational duties, one without the knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or, you know, without knowing how to engage in proper devotional service, it would be an utter waste, right? It is of no use because he's not making any progress in his spiritual life. It is still on an external platform. He's just renounced everything. So this is what is the reason for why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Eho Bahya, it is still external. And as we may have just, you know, as I mentioned, because there is no knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So naturally, as a natural segue, the next argument offered by Ramananda Raya is Jnana Mishra Bhakti. So at this stage, we see Ramananda Raya cited more evidence from the Bhagavad Gita. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Shochati Na Kangshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service to me. So unto Krishna, that is. So some knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is there, and the title is Jnana Mishra Bhakti, as it is, as we see. But then again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually dismisses this too and says this as Eho Bahya. Again, he calls it external. And the reason is, we see the verse there. This is again another famous verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Kleshodhika rastesham avyakta sakta chetasam avyakta higate dukham dehavadbhira vapyate. In the Bhagavad Gita 12.5, it is stated that those who indulge in such impersonal meditation find it very difficult to make spiritual advancement. In addition, whatever state they do attain is not complete liberation. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, he rejected it. There's a very nice purport, I think, for this one, given in the in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I thought I will read that one. Yeah, this one in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, Ramananda Rai then replied, devotional service mixed with empiric knowledge is the essence of perfection. Then the purport goes on, devotional service mixed with non-Vedic speculative knowledge is certainly not pure devotional service. Therefore, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati in his Anubhashya preaches that self-realization following the execution of ritualistic ceremonies is in the neutral stage between liberation and conditioned life. It is a place beyond this material world in the river Viraja, where the three modes of material nature are subdued or neutralized in the unmanifest state. However, the spiritual world is a manifestation of spiritual energy and is known as Vaikuntha Loka, the place where there is no anxiety. The material world, known as Brahmanda, is the creation of the external energy. Between the two creations is a river known as Viraja, as well as a place known as Brahmaloka. I'll just skip some parts. And Brahmaloka and Viraja Nadi are also attained after difficult austerities. But in these realms, there is no understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His transcendental loving service. Without such spiritual knowledge, simple detachment from material conditions is but another side of material existence. From the spiritual point of view, it is all external. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected this proposal, Ramananda Rai suggested that devotional service based on philosophy and logic is a more advanced position. And that's when he quotes this Brahma Bhuta verse. But then again, this is actually rejected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in the purport to verse 66, Prabhupada again quotes Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's commentary in Anubhashya and says that devotional service mixed with speculative knowledge is also external and not within the jurisdiction of pure devotional service as practiced in Vaikuntha Loka. As soon as there is some conception of materialistic thought, be it positive or negative, the service is non-spiritual. It may be free from material contamination, but because there is mental speculation, the devotional service is not pure and freed from the contamination of material life. A living entity, so this is the key reply, because there is mental speculation, the devotional service is not pure and freed from the contamination of material life. So that's why he still calls it external, because it has still contaminated. A living entity who wants to be completely pure must be above this material conception. The negation of material existence does not necessarily mean spiritual existence. After material existence is negated, spiritual existence, namely Sachit Ananda, still may not be manifested. Until one comes to the stage of actually understanding one's eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord, he cannot enter into the spiritual life. Spiritual life means becoming detached from material life and engaging in the loving service of the Lord. So unless we are engaged in the loving service of the Lord, we will see that until such a point of time where Ramananda Rai presents such a theory, where there is some loving devotion to the Lord, everything is going to be rejected as Iho Vahya by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A pure devotee is completely surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord, and only by his love does he conquer Krishna, who cannot be conquered by anyone. Krishna always stands victorious over everything. No one can conquer him. One can attain the stage of pure devotion simply by fully surrendering. So this is next corroborated by Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.3, wherein Lord Brahma, defeated by the potency of Sri Krishna, fully surrendered to the Lord. So we'll move on to the next. The next slide, which is Jnana Shunya Bhakti. So earlier we saw why he had presented Jnana Mishra Bhakti, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also rejected that based on the fact that the Jnana, speculative knowledge, is still not pure. So he rejects that, and then now Ramananda Rai proposes Jnana Shunya Bhakti. Ramananda Raya gave evidence from Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Lord Brahma tells the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is also a very famous and, Bhakti Vaibhav memorization verse per se. Jnane prayasa mudapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya vartam sthane sita Shrutigatam Tanuvan Manobhe, Ye Prayaso Ajita Jitopi Asitaistri Lokyam. Those who, even while remaining situated in their established social positions, throw away the process of speculative knowledge and with their body, words, and mind offer all respects to the descriptions of your, which is Lord Krishna's, personality and activities, dedicating their lives to these narrations, which are vibrated by you personally and by your pure devotees, certainly conquer your lordship, although you are otherwise unconquerable by anyone within the three worlds. So this is a very key shloka, which is often quoted by Srila Prabhupada. Ye prayaso ajita. Ajita is the name for Krishna. Ajita, somebody who cannot be conquered. But he is conquered by a person who does what? Which is described here. Though they are established in their social positions, they throw away the speculative knowledge, and they are engaging in devotional service to the Lord. How? Offering all respects to the descriptions, like Shruti Gatam, they are reading, they are listening to the activities of the Lord, engaging in devotional service. They are dedicating their lives to the narrations, like, how all you great Vaishnavas are every day gathering for the Bhagavatam and the CC classes. So like that, the devotees of the Lord who are engaged in devotional service, they can actually conquer the Lord himself. That is what is being mentioned in this verse. So what do you think? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts this, or does he say still eho bahya? Anybody? Okay, I don't know if everybody's muted. So actually Chaitanya,
he still doesn't accept.
Well, he goes one step and he says, Eho Haya, it says it's okay. Earlier he was saying it's external. But now, the basic level of devotional service starts, and his reply is Eho Haya, the second reply. So then he says, yes, it's all right, but please go on, He says, Ara Kahe, I don't know the Bengali. He says, go on with more details. That's what he says. So he is not rejecting this. He says, Eho Haya. So after this, it's going to be Eho Hayas, and we are done with Eho Bahyas. And next, we see that Ramananda Rai, but still he wants to know more details, He's happy with what he's answered, but then he says, I would like to know more in depth. That's what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. So then at this point, Ramananda Rai actually introduces this Prema Bhakti, the Prema Bhakti concepts, and he presents these concepts to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So first will be Vaidhi Bhakti, And then he will be presenting Raga Nuga Bhakti. So we'll see how that goes. Devotional service in accordance with regulative principles with faith. Nanopachara krita pujanam artha bandho. Premnaiva bhakta hridayam sukha vidrutam syat. Yavakshu asti jathare jaratha pipasa. Tavat sukhaya bhavato nanu bhakshe peye. So as long as there is hunger and thirst, eating and drinking make one feel very happy. When the Lord is worshipped with pure love, transcendental bliss is awakened in the heart of the devotee. So this verse, and I think the next verse, this is a repeat of the slide. Yeah. So this is the next verse, 71 and 70 or 69. So these verses are, Ramananda Raya's compositions, and they are picked from Padyavali, if I read it right. And so this verse actually describes Vaidhi Bhakti, that is practice of devotional service, as a sadhaka who is trying to practice under the guidance of a guru and trying to follow the principles, the rules and regulations. And, slowly and gradually the sadhaka goes to the state of Raga Bhakti, which is spontaneous devotion. So I meant to take it off, but it's still there. So we'll move on to this slide. So Ramananda Raya, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him to, continue further. He's kind of happy, he's introduced the topic of devotional service, but then still Chaitanya Mahaprabhu he wants to listen to the esoteric, concepts and truths and pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So he is actually prodding Ramananda Raya to go on and on, into more depth with all this. So the next Ramananda Raya, he introduces Raga Marga, that is Prema Bhakti in Raga Marga, spontaneous loving service without extraneous endeavor out of intense greed. So this is again another famous verse which we see here. And Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Matihi Kriyatam Yati Yadi Kutopi Labhyate Tatram Laulyam Api Mulyam Ekalam Janma Koti Sukrite Na Labhyate Tasyaiva. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by pious activity in hundreds and thousands of lives. It can be attained only by paying one price, that is intense greed to obtain it. If it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. This is a very, very, very famous verse. And also I have heard in some classes by Maharajas that this was the verse Srila Prabhupada took inspiration to coin, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So this verse, the Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Matihi, this was, the inspiration behind the naming of our organization, ISKCON. So this is what is mentioned. And this talks of, having that intense greed. There are several places, some conversations also of Srila Prabhupada, where he says that this is all, there must be Krishna anxiety. He says that there must be that anxiety. There must be that greed that, how can I serve Krishna? And so you should keep looking for that greed, where you can find that, you should have that anxiety. He says, he actually says it as anxiety. And he says, you should have that anxiety that how can I serve Krishna? Where can I, find that desire to serve Krishna? So that anxiety must always be there within a devotee. Like it says, tatra laulyam api mulyam ekalam. We also know Narottama Das Thakur. He has written, several, the Lalasmai Prarthana, which is very famous, greed for devotional service, greed for the love of Godhead. So this is something Srila Prabhupada says, that anywhere you find it, don't hesitate. Pay any price and, get that. Do not hesitate or do not balk. You just have to get it. So that's what he says. See, it can be attained only by paying one price, that is intense greed. So this Krishna consciousness, the the Nityam, you know, Sevaya, which we, you know, as devotees are supposed to do for Krishna, we need to have intense greed. Unless we develop that greed, it cannot progress to this form of spontaneous devotion. So Prabhupada says that we have to develop that greed. If we want to make any progress, we have to develop this greed and get it anywhere. Wherever they sell it, we should go run and get it without any hesitation. So this also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very happy to hear this. And then, but again, he says, Eho Haya. He says, this is all right, but can you describe more? You know, and then we will see next that Ramananda Raya, he gives his response, and his response is Dasya, Dasya Prema. So he goes one level and he, you know, describes the spontaneous loving service in servitude as exchanged by the master and servant. When Lord Chaitanya accepted this process, Ramananda Raya described the relationship between the servitor and the master. He cited a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by Durvasa Muni, a great mystic yogi who considered himself very elevated and envied Maharaja Ambarish, who was known as the greatest devotee of the time. Yannama Shruti Matrena Puman Bhavati Nirmalaha Tasya Tirtha Padakimva Dasanam Avashishyate. What is impossible for the servants of the Lord? By the very hearing of his holy name, one is purified. So we see that this Dasya Rasa is being glorified actually by Sri Ramananda Raya. He presents this Dasya Rasa, and there is this explanation of given by, you know, of this verse spoken by Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni actually is in one way giving trouble to Ambarish Maharaj. But Ambarish Maharaj, the pure devotee of the Lord, he takes a very humble position nevertheless, you know. And Durvasa is up, like we know the story is very famous, and Durvasa is upset that how Ambarish, you know, sipped that water. And Ambarish Maharaj had consulted, and sipping of water, it's kind of like an in-between gray area where you don't break the fast and also you break the fast. So in that way, he had tried to follow his duties, you know. He wanted to wait until Durvasa Muni would arrive. So, but still Durvasa Muni, you know, he was angry and he was upset with Maharaj Ambarish. And that's when Lord Vishnu, he wields his Sudarshan Chakra. And the Sudarshan Chakra chases Durvasa Muni, and nobody is able to help him except when, you know, Lord Vishnu says that you need to beg forgiveness from Ambarish Maharaj, the pure devotee. That's all, you know, that's the only help you can get. So that is the greatness of a duty, I mean, of a devotee of the Lord. That's what is being the pastime, you know, the verse is quoted from this pastime. And so in this way, Ramananda Raya proposes the Dasya Prema, you know, in a mood of servitude, he proposes this concept to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But still Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, he is not fully, he's not calling it. He still says, yes, that is all right. He's not rejecting it for sure. He's accepting it. But then he is expecting more. So why is that he's expecting, you know, more? Because in this relationship of servitude, there is some element of fear still there, you know, like a master and a servant relationship. So there is some element of fear which is there. And it is not like total love, unabandoned, you know, like without any fear like that. So next, what happens, as we can easily, you know, guess, the next level is Sakya. Actually, this is not covered in this chapter. This will be dealt in the next chapter, but just we can just do a brief overview. So in this this famous verse, Ittham Satam Brahma Sukhanubhutya Dasyam Gatanam Paradaivatena Maya Shritanam Naradarakena Sakam Vijrahu Kritapunya Punjaha. This Kritapunya Punjaha, this verse is very often quoted again by Srila Prabhupada. So what is the kind of, you know, piety that these these gopas, you know, these friends of Krishna have acquired that, you know, they are spending such wonderful time with Lord Krishna, you know, exchanging food, playing with him, you know, carrying him. Krishna sometimes does that. So, I mean, it's such a, you know, it doesn't look like, you know, the Lord and his friends are there. It's like ordinary friends are playing, you know. So what kind of a piety have they accrued, you know, to actually get this kind of association with the Lord, this kind of, relationship with the Lord. So I'll just read the excerpt which is there. In this way, all the cowherd boys used to play with Krishna, who is the source of the Brahman effulgence, for jnanis desiring to merge into that effulgence, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for devotees who have accepted eternal servitorship, and who for ordinary persons is but another ordinary child. The cowherd boys, having accumulated the results of pious activities for many lives, were able to associate in this way with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can one explain their great fortune? So isn't this such a big fortune? Krita Punya Punja. So what is this kind of fortune they have accumulated? So there's a very beautiful commentary given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And he says that this, for the other cowherd men who are not the Nitya Siddhas, you know, this could be like accrual of, some kind of pious credits which they have. But for the cowherd, the Nitya Sakhas of Krishna, it is just their dealings with Krishna. You know, it is not some kind of punya or something. So that thing does not apply to them. I'm sure the next speaker will go into more details regarding this. I don't want to go too much into those. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he listens to this, he says, "Eho Uttama," because now there is some relationship, you know, there is not that fear element, or, you know, there is no speculative knowledge, or, you know, the other things which we saw earlier. So now Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very happy. He says, "Eho Uttama." But then again, he asks Ramananda Rai to go on further. So we'll be seeing in the next few chapters, Vatsalya, like these are the things, the topics which will be discussed. Vatsalya, Kanta, Radha, Krishna Tattva, Radha Tattva, Prema Tattva, Vilasa Tattva, the Prema Vivarta Vilasa, which is the mood of separation, and then under the guidance of Sakhis, and then the last one, you know, like how generally we see in any shows, quiz shows or something, there are like nice questions and then there is a rapid fire round. So similarly, the last chapter 32 will be like a rapid fire round where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks these questions. So these are the questions he asks. And then Ramananda Rai gives these one-line answers to them. So this will be the concluding chapter 32. So this is what we are going to expect in the next few classes, and I would like to pause here, and please forgive me if I made any mistakes. Like I said, I had about 4 hours to prepare for this class, and so if I made any mistakes or anything, please forgive me, and please correct me and add and comment whatever you would like to. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Eho Uttama, Uttama class. Very, very nice. Excellent, Mataji. Very easy to understand, perfectly summarized. And you brought in all the key points, and you even included Mahaprabhu's dialogues, which was so relishable. Thank you so much for keeping it so interactive as well. Very nice class. Loved it. And it was so easy to understand. And the flow is maintained. So we are able to understand these chapters nicely. Thank you. Thank you so much. Excellent class. Hare Krishna. And I really liked a few things, like how you were telling that in Dasya Rasa, there is some sort of an element of fear in terms of, like, are we serving properly, that kind of a fear. But in Sakya Rasa, that is not there, and they are carrying Krishna on Krishna is carrying them on his shoulders, and they are carrying Krishna on their shoulders. That was very nice. I really liked it. I like that comparison. Because sometimes we don't think too far. I mean, we just accept, and someone says, okay, Dasya, then Sakya, then Vatsalya, then Madhurya, like that. We just learn it like that. But then we don't tend to think, oh, why not? What is lacking here? I mean, everything is excellent, everything is perfect. But still, when we want to understand the ladder, it's not even a ladder, probably when we want to understand the differences, we don't think too much. So thank you, Mataji, for highlighting on those little points. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Preeti, for the opportunity. And I'm just, you know, everything I copy-pasted from the book. So, yeah, the Acharya.
Yeah, Mataji, that is the best way for TLC, just copy-paste. But you just explained it so nicely, so nicely.
Yeah, so the Acharyas have given away all the truth so clearly. So we're eternally grateful to them.
Hare Krishna Sukha Sagari Mataji. I worship Baba Guru Maharaj. Wonderful to see you again.
Hi, Mataji. Nice to see you too.
I was just thinking how wonderfully Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has prepared this conversation. Obviously, this whole thing was put in place by the Lord for, you know, for a specific purpose. And I was thinking how, you know, how perfect it was in the sense that, you know, he could have just said, you know, pure devotional service is the best. But the way he takes us step by step into explaining what is kind of what's, yeah, this is good, but it's not right. You know, yeah, that's okay. You know, it's almost like when you're teaching kids something, like a math problem or something, and you ask them to do something and they do, but they don't get it right. And you say, well, yeah, that's good, but I think you need to try more. So it's almost like he's taking us as children by hand and taking us through step by step to explain to us what is the ultimate. It's so much more, not relevant, but it's so much, you know, you can understand it much better when you've been taking step by step. And also the other thought I was having is he's also addressing, we see all of these different types of, you know, practices or whatever you want to call them, you know, this Karma Mimamsa, Jnana Mimamsa, or this, you know, just a karma and then giving it to Krishna, you know, all these different stages we see now, today even we see this. And so it's like, you know, he is addressing those too. So in other words, you know, when you're having a debate, you always have to not only present your point, but also understand what the opposite debater is going to, you know, say. And you kind of want to be preemptively address those, whatever he's going to say. So how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has addressed those and has just taken a step by step. So, I, you know, like I said, simply brilliant. You know, what can you say? It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course he is. So I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your class. And maybe Krishna knows we do good under pressure because you did an excellent job. I'm going to say one more thing. If you have time, can you sing one song for Narottama Das Thakur for me?
Sure, Mataji. Time permitting, and if the organizers are okay, and then I
don't. Yes, thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
And
Hare Krishna, Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj. It's so beautiful. Sorry, I was distracted here and there, but I still got the essence. I need to rehear it. But so wonderful, Mataji. Very grateful. But with that, I have a question also. Mm-hmm. You know, as you're going, this doubt I always have. One side, you know, we always, even Prabhupada said it, you know, we don't have to leave anything. This is Yukta Vairagya, Yukta Vairagya. But like you do everything and then you add Krishna to it. At the same time, here as it is progressing, and that's somewhat like a karma mishra bhakti, if I get the term correct. I don't know.
Karma arpa. Something like that, right?
Yeah, it's a mixture. It's a karma and bhakti mixture. That is what Yukta Vairagya to me sounds like. You're doing your whatever duty. But if you see here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is kind of rejecting everything except pure bhakti. So I think maybe that's the reason Prabhupada said that Chaitanya Charitamrita is for the PhD level. And what is your opinion? I want to know what you think about it, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji. If, like I said, if we are going to be whimsically doing what we are doing without the express permission of our guru, you know, then like you said, it would rightly fall under like karma mishra bhakti or even just, you know, like I said, karma arpana, like what Ramananda Rai presented. But once we take the shelter of the Guru and follow his teachings, you know, like there is, I mean, I'm just giving from a practical point of view. There is one devotee here, she is a doctor, and her Guru, he told her that she must practice, though she wanted to give up everything and just do full-time devotional service. But her Guru said that this is your service and this is what you need to do. So if you're doing under the guidance of a Guru and your Guru is okay with it, it still counts at a devotional level, Mataji. But if we are doing whimsically the same thing, then yes, like you said, we are still not on that platform. So once we take guidance of the Guru and accept his instruction, even though externally, you know, it appears material. Like, for example, even Arjuna, Lord Krishna himself told him to go and fight, right? He didn't tell him that, okay, surrender everything and just go. So he did under the direct instruction of the Lord. And so it is pure devotional. It's not a mode of passion. Generally, fighting is considered mode of passion, right? But this is not mode of passion. Arjuna is a pure devotee of the Lord and he just followed the instructions of the Lord. So, I mean, we have our gurus, you know, who are the representative of the Lord. Of course, I mean, personally speaking, not on that platform that the Lord himself comes and gives me that instruction. But of course, our gurus do give us their instruction and their guidance. So as long as we are obeying and following that, you know, we cannot be dwelling on that same platform and saying that our guru agreed, so I'm doing this. We have to make advancement. That's how I look at it, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you. That is so beautiful. Actually, Karma Yoga, Bhagavad Gita chapter 3. So Krishna says to Arjuna, we had a discussion, so that's a 17-18, he says, like self-realized devotees like this, and towards the 19, he said, you are not there. So you do what I am saying. If you are self-realized, you need not follow any duty. So that's what it reminded me of. And so yes, Mataji, of course, as you're saying that but at the same time, we also should not think that I don't know how to put it across. Please forgive me if I say something wrong and correct me. We should not jump to become we should not be a pretender renouncing everything and just trying to do bhakti if we are not there. But that is our ultimate goal, or that's the ultimate destination. Knowing this is also important, isn't it? Because many a times we may think in general, I would say, that Yukta Vairagya is all we are supposed to do. So do you get what I'm saying, Mataji? I mean, see, knowing the standard is always important. Whether we are there or not, that is different. Only when we have the destination, only when we know what's the goal, then we will walk towards it. But if we think that we are doing what we are supposed to do, then there is nowhere to go. Then we are already perfected ourselves. That's the kind of thing we will think.
Yes, Mataji, I think we do have enough. I mean, that's why devotee association is so important, that we do have enough checkpoints, right, every now and then. And we are aware where we stand and what kind of a pretentious nature we are putting up, right? I mean, it's no secret. If we ourselves know where we stand and, you know, what level we are at. And so, yes, it's not like, you know, somebody is going to put this on us and say that, you know, you do this devotional service. That's still not spontaneous. So we need to develop that love on our own accord and, you know, rise to that platform. But of course, devotee association is key to that. And like Vaisheshika Prabhu, he gives this example many times. Like, you know, the snake, you know, it sloughs off its skin, you know. So naturally it does that. So when it naturally does that, it goes and gets a new skin and, you know, goes about its way. But you try to de-skin the snake, it's going to die, right? So similarly, everybody is in different stages and, you know, are making progress at their own pace, whatever that pace is. Some are able to do this way. We have seen so many disciples of Prabhupada who have just given everything away with just meeting Srila Prabhupada once. They gave everything, you know, the whole material life away. They gave up their education, families, everything, and surrendered to Srila Prabhupada. So there are devotees at that level. And some devotees take time to give up. So, but we should take, like Srila Prabhupada says, that famous verse, that greed must always be there. So somehow or other, we need to develop that greed to make progress in Krishna consciousness. And it's not a one-way thing that we just sit around and do what we want to and suddenly the devotional service dawns. No, it doesn't work like that. We need to make the effort. It is a reciprocative process, and it's not a one-sided thing that Krishna just keeps giving. We need to make the effort, definitely. Like you said, we cannot be just sitting complacent that let me do this and dovetail everything, wicked mind tries to dovetail everything we do, right? We find one way or the other to dovetail everything. So yeah, but we need to rise up and make some advancement over time, at our own comfortable pace, not to that point that, you become very scared of Krishna consciousness and find it very stifling and, throttling, and you're not able to do much, not to the point of suffocation, but at least in gradual steps. That's why it's important to consult the Guru. The Guru knows exactly at what time, you're ready for something or you're not ready like that. So that's my humble thoughts on this. But I'm not sure if I answered your question. And
yes, Mataji, so wonderful. And the snake analogy is so beautiful, so easy to understand, so eloquently you have told that. Thank you so much, and got answer for other doubts too. So thank you, very grateful. Give you your association more frequently, Mataji. Dandavat pranam, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. It was so nice meeting you in Dallas, and your enthusiasm is contagious. You're so enthusiastic, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Same here, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Well, you spoke on one of my favorite subjects in the CC, or in Krishna consciousness. My question is actually just for repetition, for my sake.
I can't hear you, Mataji.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I muted by accident. Yeah. Yeah, my question is, I don't know, did you hear anything? I said, I don't know when I muted myself.
I just heard my question is, and then it went blank.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm just asking you to repeat, actually. Which step was it where Lord Chaitanya said for the first time, okay, that's okay.
Yeah. That Jnane Prayasa Udapasya Namanta Eva, that verse is the first step, Mataji. Let me bring up that slide. This one, Mataji. You see, when Ramananda Rai quotes this verse from the
Shiva. Mataji, can't see that.
Oh, sorry. I thought I had shared this. Sorry, Mataji. This verse, Mataji. Are you able to see now?
Yes. Yeah.
This Jnane Prayasam Udapasya Namanta Eva Jivanti Sanmukharitam Bhavadiya Vartam. This verse.
Yeah, I'm trying to expand it. Okay, one second. I don't know why I can't expand it. Okay, it says, those who, even while remaining situated in their established positions, throw away the process of speculative knowledge, and with their body, words, and mind, offer all respects to descriptions of your personality and activities.
So in CC, it starts with 66 verse, Mataji.
Okay.
Yeah,
Mataji, can you just read the translation? I think that will help.
Mm-hmm.
Those who, even while remaining situated in their established social positions, throw away the process of speculative knowledge, and with their body, words, and mind, offer all respects to the descriptions of your personality and activities, dedicating their lives to these narrations, which are vibrated by you personally and by your pure devotees, certainly conquer your lordship, although you are otherwise unconquerable by anyone within the three worlds. So this is where he starts saying Eho Hayam. Like, he does not reject. After this, he's like, yes, that's all right, go on.
Okay, because this is the first time that the devotee is performing activities that is completely on the platform of the soul, have nothing to do with material.
Yeah, and also in the purport, if I'm not wrong, to that verse, Srila Prabhupada quotes this NOD verse. Let me check. Yeah. One second, Mataji, I'm trying to pull up. Yeah, in this, if you see purport to Madhya 868, when he actually goes to the next point, you know, the spontaneous, you know, when he goes to the next verse of Prema Bhakti, that is Vaidhi or spontaneous, you know, Vaidhi progressing to spontaneous, that's where in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he actually quotes this Rupa Goswami's favorite Bhakti Rasamrita, I mean, famous Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu verse, Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Dhyana Amritam Anukulin. So that one where he says that is the level of pure devotional service. So that's when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that so that Jnane Prayase is the starting, and from there Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, the devotional service actually starts from there.
Okay, so 66, that's this one where he said, okay, that's okay for the first time.
Yeah,
from and 66. then 68 you said was,
he goes to the Prema Bhakti, you know. First in that 66, he just introduced his devotional service. But then in 68, he goes to Prema Bhakti. So then in he talks about Vaidhi Bhakti. And then, let me give you the verse references. Yeah. So the 69 is actually the Vaidhi Bhakti. And then 70 talks about the Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Matihi. That is actually the, you know, like intense greed, where he talks about the laulyam chapi mulyam. That one is the spontaneous, the raga platform. So like that, it progresses, Mataji. That is at 70 verse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in verse 68, you characterize that as prema bhakti.
Mm-hmm. Like in general, Mataji, like Vaidhi.
Oh, in a general way, okay.
Yeah, because the Prema Bhakti, you know, it starts with the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and then Vaidhi Bhakti and then Raga Bhakti. So that's how it's being categorized.
In 66, you wouldn't have called that like Prema Bhakti or general Bhakti?
Yeah, he starts off with a general, you know, like the process of devotional service, you know, like listening to Krishna Katha, you know, like it says, like, where he says that the abandon discussing, so he's rejecting philosophical, you know, speculation, and they should just hear from self-realized devotees about your holy name, form, pastimes, and qualities. So earlier, if you see, you know, the Jnana Mishra Bhakti was proposed, so he's dismissing that. And he's saying that the total, that speculative element must be removed. And we should only seek the guidance of our self-realized devotee and start the actual devotional process by hearing about the name, form, pastimes, qualities. And they should, and then it's also the, you know, the translation reads, they should completely follow the principles of devotional service and remain free from, you know, the four regs, the illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, animal slaughter, surrendering themselves fully with body, words, and mind. They can live in any ashram or social status. Indeed, you're conquered by such persons, although you're always unconquerable. So this is what is 67.
That's 67?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay. The step before 66, that was the Jnana Mishra Bhakti, huh?
Mm-hmm. Jnana Sunya Bhakti. He says, you know, with the first he the Jnana Mishra is defined, then Jnana Shunya, you know, like that without any touch of speculative knowledge, you know, and then he explains it. So this is not like this is a standalone. So when he says, okay, now, you know, from Jnana Mishra, we'll move on to Jnana Shunya. And then Ramananda Rai, he actually continues it with quoting this verse, you know, from the Jnane Prayasam Udapasya, from Lord Brahma's prayers. He continues with this. So this is not like this verse is this and that verse, next verse is that. So this is a continuation of that Jnana Shunya Bhakti, which he's trying to explain. So 66, 67 is Jnana Shunya. You know, he's trying to introduce the Bhakti concept. And then he describes from 68 to 70 is Prema Bhakti. He again goes into depth in, and he say, talks about Vaidhi Bhakti and then Raga Bhakti.
Look, Jnana Shunya is still...
Yeah, Jnana Shunya starts at 66, Mataji, and that is actually the Ramananda Rai gives this verse as reference in 67 to establish what he said in 66.
Mm-hmm. Which verse was it that he said... You know, because you still haven't come to the platform of devotional service, you know, and it is still, you know, even though you're free from
yeah, that is the Jnana Mishra verse, Mataji.
Jnana Mishra, right?
Yeah. In that purport he says that.
Okay.
There is still mental speculation. This is actually in that verse, Ramananda Rai answers with Jnana Shunya Bhakti, but then in the purport, the refutation for that is actually given for the previous, the Jnana Mishra is given.
Yeah, it's just interesting that he would call that still like material if you, just because you have, you know, if you're free from material contamination, but you haven't come to the point of devotional service, you know, I just find it interesting that it's still considered material contamination, even though is materially contaminated, even though it's like actually free of contamination. It's just because you haven't come to the devotional platform. You know, you haven't come to the devotional platform, but you're not materially contaminated also, you know?
Yeah, but then he says that because there is mental speculation. So, you know, like these are the jnanis who are trying to derive logic. And there is also this other book, Mataji, if you see, this is actually a manuscript on this topic, which was written before even Srila Prabhupada accepted sannyas. So there are some more points given in this book, Mataji, that you know, at that stage, maybe it's also in the CC, but at that stage, these jnanis, they think that, you know, once they are above this concept of this material, you know, all this, you know, they're above this material realm, they think that they have, you know, become God, or, you know, they think that that process is enough for them to be rid of all this material, you know, miseries and all that. So they still are on that level, and then they fall back again. So then something like that is actually mentioned in the book. And so they think that that is the means, you know, like they have found the ultimate liberation.
Yeah.
You know? So that's why it is still material, because they don't know the truth.
I see. What was the name of that book? I couldn't see.
The In Search of the Ultimate Goal of Life, Mataji.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much, Mataji, for your patient repetitions of the entire class, practically. Hare Krishna.
Mataji.
Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you so much. When you asked for children, I think I could not hear properly by the time I was unmuting. You started reciting the words, Mataji. Luna was here only with me.
I want to say the word.
Oh. You want to say the word, Linda?
Yeah.
Mataji, what was that word, Mataji?
Yat karoshi yadashnasi.
Yeah.
Yes, Karoji, yes, Nadi, yes, Jyoti, the Rati, yes, the Pasadi,
thank you. Yeah. I missed you on that.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Can I say something, Mataji?
Yeah, please, Mataji, please add.
Yeah, nothing much adding. 1 or 2 years back, I was hearing this guru who is pretty popular in India. He's from Coimbatore. He's, you know, everybody knows he's popular on YouTube and everywhere. A lot of India follow him. But he was saying...
Sadguru Mataji from Coimbatore, I don't know.
Sadguru Mataji.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, Sadhguru, right? Yeah, India is crazy about him. So,
Junkie,
yeah?
Junkie, right? He's
junkie. Yes, yes, yes. So I was hearing one of his videos a long time back. So that time we were like coming to Krishna consciousness. And then he was saying, you know, I was so surprised. He said, you can use the Lord as a stepping stone. You know, you worship him. You came to that level and you can go above him. And, you know, even if like we did not come completely, it was so, what do you say? It was so disgusting. That was the last video I have heard of him. It was so disgusting. You know, even utilizing any human being itself is so disgusting. Like you use somebody, it's like, you know, you use someone to get some achievement, any benefit, material benefit. And then he was and people watch them and still appreciate them because we are so blinded by this Mayavad and this whatever it is, Gyan or no Gyan, I don't know. But he was saying you can step over the Lordship. So I it is not that just Prabhupada is criticizing and our Acharyas are saying. It is still prevalent in India. I don't know about other places. So it is not a theory, it is practical and we must hear and know about it, Mataji. So I just wanted to add this. Sorry, Mataji, if it is out of context.
Mataji, you're right, yes. Because, you know, our ego is soothing to our ego, right? When we say that we are in control and we are just using the Lord and bhakti as a crutch to go there, where we will be in control. So it is very soothing to the ego. And so many people are followers. I'm also kind of aware of many of his followers, and some people from ISKCON in our temple have gone following him. So I don't know how that happened, but it is there, like you said.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Hare Krishna, Aichi Sukhe Sari Mataji, Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai, Se Se Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. As usual, Mataji, very nectarian class. Mataji, with all your Vaishnavas permission, can you please sing something, two lines? From Vaishnav Songbook, whatever you want to sing.
Sure, Mataji. I think Adam Faneshwari Mataji also had requested. So if it's okay with the organizers, I can sing the Lalasmai Prarthana, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji.
Sing, Mataji.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Sukh Sagri, Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam. Beautiful class, Mataji. You explained it so nicely. And yes, you have done justice. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow, but the class was really, really, really awesome. Thank you, Mataji. And now, yes, as per the request of all the Vaishnavas, you can sing Hare Krishna.
I have a question. Can you address that? It's on the chat.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't see. Varnashrama renunciation, Jnana Mishra, Jnana Shunya Vaide Shanta Dasya. Shanta, I didn't see a mention of that there. I don't know if I missed it because it directly goes to Dasya. After Vaidhi, it is Raga instead of Shanta. And then... Dasya and Sakya like that. I didn't see a mention of Shanta in this.
Where Rama. Would it fit? It would fit in Jnana Shunya or?
I would think that Shanta, you know, is again one of the rasas, right? Though it is a neutral rasa, it would fall before Dasya. I mean, as that is generally the order which we read. But it's not mentioned in this Samvad. That's what.
Got it. Thanks.
Yeah, Madhurya. Well, Madhurya, two types. Madhurya
comes later.
There is a lot more detail. Let me just. Are you able to see my slide?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you see, there's so many details discussed before. See, Vasalya, Kanta, the love of a beloved for Krishna, Radha Prema, then Radha Rani's love, you know, all that Mahabhav going until Mahabhav, and then Krishna Tattva, then Radha Tattva, Prema Tattva, and then Prema Vivarta Tattva, Vilasa, which is in separation, mood of separation. This is the high, topmost, which is discussed. And I'm not sure what this under the guidance of the Sakhis is, but we see that this is the progress which will be followed in this Samvad, and then there is this rapid fire question answer session. This okay. Is the next chapter.
Yeah, we need the slides, Mataji.
Yeah, I will share with you, Preeti, if you want. I will share it.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Sukhasagari, Mataji. Thank you for such a wonderful presentation, Mataji. And
the all glory to Radhika.
Yes, Mataji, of course. But very, very clearly presented. Definitely, I missed the first 20 minutes. But able to kind of make sense. Definitely have to go back and hear it again. Mataji, so this is very similar to the order, except, of course, it's much more advanced than the order that Krishna gives in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, right?
Yeah.
First, he talks about fixing the mind. But here, it is way beyond that.
Yeah, I was just drawing that parallel, you know, like how...
Yeah, I missed that, yeah.
Yeah, Krishna talks of karma yoga, then renunciation, then, you know, renunciation with karma, you know, like he talks of jnana, then, you know, like so many progresses. You know, there are some similarities like that, like you rightly said.
Yes, but Krishna accepts all of them, right? I mean, even if you're doing karma, mishra, bhakti, it doesn't matter. He was not saying that, no, not this, not this. He was not rejecting those.
Yeah, it's...
we say that.
Is looking for the ultimate. So
ultimate, yes.
Yeah, the pure devotional. So until such time, he says, he's rejecting in the sense, he says, this is still external, you know, because there is a tinge of material... you know, notions or whatever attached to it. So at that point, you know, like how Mataji was asking the Jnane Prayasam Udapasya Namanta Eva, that verse onwards, you know, that pure devotional service is starting, and that's when he says, okay, this is all right, shall we move ahead? So until such time, because there is some element of material, you know, contamination, he's saying it is still external, like that. He rejects it in that sense, saying that it is still external. It's not on a transcendental level.
Mataji, very, very, really appreciate your question answer session also. You're very, very patient with each and every one of us. Thank you so much for all your effort and your time, Mataji. And of course, definitely we know that you were quite busy. And even after that, you did this service very wonderfully. Oh, very grateful to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
All grace to Shishi Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada. It's just the, I think, association of all exalted devotees here that I just learned from you, and I'm repeating the same things to you, and you're accepting it. So that's all. There is nothing else to it, actually. I just learned for a TLC from all of you. So I'm just parroting whatever I learned.
Yes, we had wonderful CC sessions also before, but yes, and you were one of the instructors there too. So thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Yes, Faneshwari Mataji, I will share slides with Preeti, and Preeti, Faneshwari Mataji also would like the slides. So if you would like to share with them also, it will help them.
Sure.
Mataji, I think I will just sing short bhajan and then I have to go back. I'm so sorry if If there are more questions, tomorrow Kirtida Mataji, expert, will answer everything beautifully. So, with your permission, I will just sing the bhajan.
Oh, no, Mataji, I'm not expert. I'm totally confused.
Say like that, Mataji. Your level is different, Mataji.
No, not at all.
Very humble. Being humble, both of you. Thank you, Sri Sagar Mataji. Very wonderful class. Very nicely explained everything. Wonderful.
Thank you, Mataji, with your blessings. I try to do some seva. I will just share this bhajan.
Yes, please do so.
And I'm just going to sing quickly.
Very beautiful stuff.
Just give me 1 second. Let me grab Kartal, or maybe not. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Nitai Gora Haribol, 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 Nitai Gora Haribol. Okay, I didn't practice this at all. Goranga bolite habe pulaka sharira hari hari bolite na yane babe nira ara kabe nita chande koruna hoibe samsara basana mora Kabe tuchhabe, Vishaya chariya kabe, Shuddha habe mana, Kabe hamahera bo, Shri Vrindavana, Rupa Raghunatha pade, Hoi be akuti, Kabe hama bhuja bose, jugala piriti, Rupa raghunatha pade, rahu mora asha, Prathana karoye sada, narotama dasa. So this is the lalasmai prathana. Hoping and praying that all of us get this intense greed, which I totally lack, even the desire. So this is by Narottam Das Thakura, and I will just quickly read the translation so we understand the mood of Narottam Das here. When will that opportune moment come to us? When there will be the shivering of the body as soon as we chant Lord Gauranga's name? While chanting Hare Krishna, when will there be tears in the eyes? When will I obtain the mercy of Lord Nityananda Chandra? When, by his mercy, will the desire for material enjoyment become very insignificant? When the mind is completely purified, being free from material anxieties and desires, then I shall be able to understand Vrindavan and the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, and then my spiritual life will be successful. When shall I be very much eager to study the books left by the 6 Goswamis, headed by Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami? By their instruction, I shall be able to properly understand the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. My only aspiration is to attain the lotus feet of the 6 Goswamis, headed by Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Narottam Das are constantly praised to attain their lotus feet. So this is lalasmai, greed prayer. So I hope it helps all of us to get that greed which Srila Prabhupada is talking about.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Koti koti dandavat pranam.
Dandavat pranam to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Mataji, for your very enlightening class today. And we are very grateful to you. We look forward to your association again. All and now, I guess nobody has any questions, so can we end the call now? By your permission, Mataji?
Sure, Mataji, it's your show. I'm just...
Okay. Mancha kalpata rupyasya kripa sindhu bhyeva cha patitanam pavanipyo vaishnava namo namo ananta koti vishnavindu pijay mancha kalpata rupyasya kripa sindhu bhyeva cha patitanam pavanipyo vaishnava namo namo Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai Shri Chaitanya Shikshamrita ki jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai and her grace Sukha Sagari Mataji ki jai Hare Krishna Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Vrinda ki jai. Balvrinda ki jai.